bitch and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Group.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Yes, we are coming to you a little bit on the late side. And it has been a while since we recorded. So I guess we could say this is the start of a new season, season three. And just to go right into it for our listeners, today's topic and title is Armed and Dangerous. And that probably speaks to the state of our country, right? There's so much going on right now. The shootings every day, I think they said shooting in the Bronx was at like 28% or more than that, perhaps, year over year. And there's shootings across the country every day. But I think the trial and the case that highlights kind of where the country is the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, like just where we are. And Big Room, for our listeners who may not be aware, I'm pretty sure everybody does know, but for those who may not be aware of Kyle Rittenhouse, who is he, what is this trial about, and why is it so important to the state of our country?
Well, after the, I believe it was the Blake shooting, his mother drove him across state lines. He said he was going there to help protect the local businesses from the rioters. He was armed with, I think it was an AR-15. I'm not sure if that's the actual weapon that he had. But in the course of his quote-unquote protecting businesses, he killed several people. Whether he was an instigator or self-defense, that's what the trial is, you know, he's on trial for now. But basically, it's, the aftermath of him killing two people, I think injuring a third, if I'm not correct.
No, that's correct. That's the breakdown. So basically, summer, or rather just the year 2020, when our world started to fall apart, there was just constant issues between people of color and the police department. There was growing protests and basically moments of reckoning, which were both grassroots level on the streets, but also permeated throughout institutions in society. You saw a lot of companies getting on board, starting to make changes internally, changes within their business practice to reflect the lack of diversity, the lack of equity, and the lack of inclusiveness, and basically the racism that is pervasive in the American society. And that's basically all the different incidences leading up to George Floyd, and then after George Floyd, which is when the Jeff Blake situation happened. And it just seemed that there was just a series of events that continue to happen. And again, people protested, people decided to use civil unrest to draw attention to the plight. And then some people use it as an opportunity to draw armed resistance to civil arrest, right? And basically put themselves in the role of police officer or National Guardsman, in defense. And that's where Kyle Rittenhouse comes in, right? Because there were several nights of protests, like you said, because of Jeff Blake shooting by a police officer. And there were armed gunmen, which is legal in the state of Wisconsin, although, like you said, he wasn't from there, who decided that they were going to meet unarmed civil disobedience with armed resistance. Enter Kyle Rittenhouse.
No, and we see the result of what happened.
Exactly. So I think to unpack for our listeners why we picked that trial that's going on right now, but also the incident of that led to the trial, because the first thing I guess to draw inference is that these were not law enforcement people. These were not policemen or deputies or National Guardsmen. These were private citizens, in the case of Kyle Rittenhouse, who did not even live in the area, certainly had no business in the area, literally. He had no business, and he had no business they owned, even though he said he's protecting a business. And yet the system, the government, the laws allowed for this action. They allowed for armed gunmen, right, armed and dangerous, to basically put themselves in an already existing chaotic situation. There's already civil disobedience because of protesting, and some people take protesting beyond where it's supposed to go. But the point is, our system of government allowed for this armed intrusion, if you will. And I guess when we say armed and dangerous, should that even have been allowed? Should we have a system where we can have unbadged, non-professional law enforcement people basically parading around? In other words, you give a 17-year-old a semi-automatic weapon and let him go into a chaotic situation. Like you said, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, situations like that, when you have civil unrest, you normally you have the National Guard. Obviously, they're well-trained in how to defuse situations. Or even if you had professional bodyguards. I have a business. I don't want business to be looted or be robbed. So I hire people to do it. But having a 17-year-old with an armed assault rifle walking around, I don't think that's the most prudent thing to do.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. And again, going back to our system of government and the structures in place, sadly, they think it was okay, right? That's why we're having this trial. You know, one of the charges that was brought against Calvin House was the fact that he was underage and shouldn't have had the type of weapon that he had, yet that was also thrown out. So by inference, you could say that the system, the judge, the legal system, the laws, they all supported an underage, armed individual basically paroled in a very chaotic situation. And that's where we have to say, okay, armed and dangerous. Why is this allowed? And what does it pretend for the future? Because right now, the trial is one thing. The trial is just the nuts and bolts of what apparently happened. But up to that point, the system is saying this is okay. It's okay to give 17-year-olds machine guns.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, because the gun issue seems to be a state issue where each state has their own rules and regulations, it's going to be hard to get a handle on it because it's not like there's a national policy that you have to be a certain age to have guns or there's certain requirements. Each state, each jurisdiction can have their own policies, and it makes it too easy and too accessible for people that we might think are not ready to have guns to have guns.
I agree. And again, you know, a lot of weight is being put on the verdict one way or another. I mean, obviously, if he's convicted, there's going to be some people saying that, how did you convict someone who's doing what was legally right and what was actually required? And obviously, if he's acquitted, people are going to be like, how can you literally murder two people and injure a third? And it's justified. So, I mean, I think the point you made is just that, because of the gun culture, because of the mindset of so many people that one, this is a constitutional right, which, again, if we really look at the Constitution, the way the Second Amendment is written and the way that the conservative mindset is always interpreted, the Constitution, which is as it's written, even they know it's not constitutional, right? But that trend is left. I think you made that point. That trend is left, right? So we're now dealing with a system saying this is okay, right? Yes, 17-year-olds should have military-style weapons. That's what the system is basically saying. Now, if Calvin House is convicted, they'll say that, okay, he did something wrong, right? He may be overstepped. But as a system, as a society, everything was fine. There's nothing wrong with 17-year-olds having machine guns in chaotic situations. Our system of government is saying that.
Yeah, I agree. It's totally saying that. And I think that regardless of what the verdict is, it seems to be that's the lay of the land. You know, people can go underage and have these type of high-velocity weapons, and the country's okay with it.
Yeah, exactly. Hence, for our listeners, today's title, Armed and Dangerous. Because right now we have to say that is the state of our country. Whether it's mass shooting, school shooting, domestic shooting, which is still the largest amount of shooting, you know, domestic violence, we are at an epidemic stage and it's only getting worse. And that doesn't factor, like I said, the illegal guns that are in other areas that are proliferating and the amount of violence again happening close to home in the Bronx, but just throughout the country, different pockets. So we are in a very bad state. Like, we really are in a very bad state. And again, to your point, I don't know what the solution is either, right? Because rationality seems to have gone out the window. And it looks like it could get worse.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, because if there's no national policy, you can have a policy in a strict place like New York. And, you know, all right, so let's go to Virginia, get a gun from somebody down there and come up here and get it, you know, use the gun. So it's very hard to really have a policy when every state and jurisdiction has their own rules.
Okay, so that's a good point. But and I actually want to touch on it because it's something that actually might nationalize the policy, right? But not in the direction that you're hoping it goes, right? There might be a national policy where everyone can have a gun. So again, sometimes local policies and practices, in fact, part of the design of government was to sometimes not have everything be universal so that there would be kind of pockets of different expressions, right? But if it's nationalized, it might be okay. Now, all the covered houses around the country can get guns. So all 7 GOs can get guns. And again, because of the, I won't say the faulty logic and the misinterpretation of the Second Amendment, there are people who believe that. There are people who generally believe that 17-year-olds should all have guns, right? We could get into different layers of that. They may not think that all 17-year-olds should have guns. They may not think that guns should be in certain societies, certain demographics, right? Because that's the other problem that has been projected, that depending on who has a gun, it's looked at very differently. But to your point of a national policy, okay, maybe it would be nice for those of us who aren't gun owners to say that no one should have guns, but a national policy go the other way where everybody can have a gun.
That's a scary thought.
Agreed. And, I don't know if you're going to add something.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, as being a middle-aged person now, as opposed to when I was a younger individual, I know the mindset it changes as you get older and you see things differently. And I don't think a lot of 17-year-olds need to be walking around with AR-15s. That may be very bad for society.
Agreed, and exactly. And yet that's what the Calvert House trial is partially about. Because like I said, the trial itself is about the actions that he took in the situation he was in. But from a systemic point of view, at least in that locale, there was no problem with him having a gun. That's why they even took away the charge of an underage minor with a gun, I believe because the gun was at a certain length. So I guess if it's a certain length, it's not considered concealed or whatever that category is. So it was okay for him to have a gun. So again, the system, the state, the law is saying it's okay for 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse to have a gun and walk through a crowd. Right. And to your point, I think that's the initial problem. It's not that that had to go wrong, but there was a good chance it would go wrong.
No, totally understand that point. It's just a sad state of affairs because, you know, we're just talking right now about the gun issue. But obviously, we all know that if a different person was walking with the gun, maybe they would have encountered resistance.
No, but I you're right to mention, I mentioned it as well, that there does, you know, there is potentially a racial component to it, which we cannot abstract that from everything else we see in society, right? So we already know that there's a stereotype and a perception and a treatment of minorities, people of color, young black males, right, without even having a gun. So one, would they be allowed to have a gun the way the Calvert House is a question in and of itself. And two, how they're going to be viewed with a gun, that's almost a known fact, right? Only because when you look at all the statistics, it shows you that people of color are stopped at a much higher rate. People of color are disproportionately killed by police or have violent accounts with police. So there's nothing to suggest that if everyone in this country had a gun, that it would somehow pretend better for people of color. Right. Because even unarmed and non-threatening, we tend to be dealt with very harshly. So now if we're armed and threatening, right?
Justified. They'll be justified in their mind.
Right. So I think that's kind of the scary factor. And, you know, this is sort of a debate or a conversation you almost wish didn't happen and didn't think it would happen. And yet we're talking about it with our listeners because it is happening. Right. This is not theory. This is not what if this is really happening?
Tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
And the reason why I mentioned the nationalization of it, like you did, is that the Supreme Court apparently is hearing a case from New York about concealed weapons. And I don't know the name of the case. I believe it was taken up last week. I don't know what the status of it is. But the point being is that if that state law or that particular case is upheld by the Supreme Court, that could then mean that you could have concealed weapons in New York, which we know is one of the most restrictive places to get a gun, a carry license. So if that was overturned in New York, and I don't think anybody who lives in New York thinks that New Yorkers should all have guns, but the law would say, yes, that's what you can do.
That's a scary thought.
Exactly. And just as far as the lay of the land, and the Supreme Court says you can do it in New York, by implication, you can do it throughout the country. So that would, in fact, be saying, okay, everybody can have gun space. We're exaggerating with everybody, but we're just saying that it's known that it's hard to get a gun in New York. So that's why people go to Virginia and transport, because it's just known. That won't be the case if that law was, I guess, to be upheld or whatever that case. So, again, we're in a very sad state in this country. Armed and Dangerous is certainly a good title for how we should feel. And, you know, going back to the young man, Kyle Rittenhouse, because, again, I don't know how much you pay attention to the trial. I know it seems that the judge, some of his rulings have been shaded one way, and it seems that he's been somewhat pro-Rittenhouse. I'm not saying totally, not saying that the case is corrupt, but I do know that the judge said that you cannot refer to the shooting victims as victims.
Yeah, I have not been following the trial closely like that. I did hear that, which is totally ludicrous to me. And a lot of the statements he's made or rulings have been pro-Rittenhouse, it seems.
Right.
I heard something about him selecting jurors or something like that effect. I didn't, like I said, I wasn't following it closely, but
right.
That's I don't know what's going on with this particular court. I heard the judge is really out there, according to all the people, the commentary I've seen.
Right. I think the judge uses, again, apparently I've heard from, you know, media sources that this is not new for him, so this is not particularly new in this trial, that there's that barrel type of thing where the jurors' names are in the barrel. So I guess the way they do it is that they start with more jurors than they need, and then they select the 12 that's going to actually do the voting. And whether the judge pulls it out, whether the fourth person pulls it out, I guess it's under the judge's jurisdiction who pulls it out. And I believe he's done that before with other defendants. And you could argue, I mean, again, not knowing the process, you could argue that it's still fair because you're pulling out names that you don't know blindly. So it's more roll the dice. So again, I don't know if that's more just for the optics. Like, oh my God, I can't believe he's picking his own jurors. Where, no, it doesn't matter. He's picking out 12 names. I mean, whether it was him, me, you, anybody, it would seem that part of the process is the same. It's just that I guess the imagery of him pulling out his own jurors is a little weird to see. Again, I don't know. I'm just going by what has been said, but it's been said this is not the first time he's done it. He's let other jurors pull out names blindly. Other defendants, excuse me.
Okay. Well, thanks for that clarification. That kind of gave me some insight as to the process.
Right. So I guess stepping away from the country as a whole and focusing on Kyle Rittenhouse, I mean, the real court of case, it does seem similar to Trayvon Martin. I know some people have made some overtures, even though it's not the same situation. But I just think it's the same in the theme of someone took an action, didn't like the way the action went or wasn't comfortable with it, and then felt compelled to use deadly force. So again, we have to say echoes of our society where we're arming people with weapons, but not necessarily with the best processes to use those weapons, right? I'm scared, so I'm using a weapon. Yeah, but you put yourself in a situation to be scared. And again, I think that's more of a systemic issue. How can you go with your gun into a situation, threaten somebody, and then when the situation becomes more chaotic, the threat that you cause is now the source of your fear and you react to it deadly. So I think that goes back to the laws, I guess. I mean, like you said, if his mother legally couldn't have drove him there, if he legally was supposed to have a gun, if he legally was supposed to stand as part of this unofficial militia, then he would have been breaking the law. You know, some of the Bernie Getz. Bernie Getz, for those who remember, got in trouble because he had an illegal gun. He shouldn't have had a gun, right? Whether or not he should defend himself, that was secondary. You're not supposed to have a gun, so you can't defend yourself with a weapon you're not supposed to have.
Exactly. And I think this situation also sheds light on the fact that he is a 17-year-old. Maybe somebody who was 25 might have had a different mindset. Maybe they would have instigated the whole incident that started the whole thing.
True. So, you know, we've done some episodes in the past about, obviously, law enforcement and obviously some level of, I'm not going to say police brutality, but we have talked about that in the past as well, just unfair treatment. But, you know, I mean, honestly, our stance on guns is just very disgusting. I'm saying that personally, people don't have to agree, but we've seen that guns in the hands of untrained not professionals, it's deadly. It's not even dangerous, it's deadly. And yet we're, as a society, upholding it as one of our core tenets.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
I think that also the minority, and again, I'm not saying that most people in America don't want guns, but it's the loud minority that are pro-gun and are in bed with the lobbyists and, you know, the gun manufacturers are pushing their agenda. Because, I mean, I haven't taken a poll. I don't know. I know polls probably do exist. But I've been saying most people don't see a need for everyone to have a gun, even if it is, you know, misinterpreting the Second Amendment. I think most people think law enforcement should have it and not everybody needs to have it. But the loud minority seems to have taken a foothold. And, you know, them with the gun manufacturers have put all these law rules and things in place to make guns accessible to more people.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, that's definitely a clear truth. And it's. I don't want to say it's a scary thought and leave it there for our listeners, but it really is, because I think most people thought that if ever there was going to be a change in gun laws, it was going to be after Sandy Hook. And, you know, once those, you know, all those lives were lost, it seemed that that was something that you say, okay, yes, there's a culture and history of guns in America, but we need to modify it somewhat. And once people kind of went away from that, I think it almost was the sense that all hope is lost, right? All hope is lost. This is not even a racial issue. A lot of issues in America are racial. This is not a racial issue. This is a fundamental issue that violence is an accepted part of our society and even a welcome part of our history. And that's what's scary, that it belies logic. It's just not about the most logical proven thing, because there's so much evidence that the less guns you have, the less shootings will happen. But there is this history and love of violence that our society has, and it's starting to come to the top, starting to really kind of bubble up.
No, I totally agree with you. And you know, the sad thing and the one most disturbing things I heard is that people actually didn't think Sandy Hook even happened. Oh, it was a figment. It's a some agenda to try to get rid of guns. And really, I'm like, obviously, if you had someone that was lost, then you would know that it was something that really happened that was devastating. You know, and I don't think anyone's going around making up fake stories about, you know, 20-something kids being murdered.
No, that's true. And again, that's why I think that a lot of people thought that that was going to be a situation of change. And I think the reality is that it wasn't, right? It wasn't a situation of change, a time of change. And I think change isn't going to happen. Like I said, this is an issue that doesn't really center on logical thought, right? It's not about what's most prudent. This is what people like. There's people who have a passion for guns. They have a passion for the culture of guns, the use of guns, the feel of guns, the ownership of guns. and probably in some way the power that they feel associated with guns. And because logic is out the window, rationality is out the window, that's not going to hold any weight now. It's really about how people feel. And like you said, this smaller minority has been the most vocal, is the most vocal, and quite frankly, is getting their way. So again, for our listeners, today's episode is armed and dangerous because our country is armed and dangerous.
Scary times, my brother, scary times.
Yes, yes. But for our listeners on the brothers, who, you know, all our listeners have been paying attention for the last two and now three seasons, our third season starting tonight, we always do leave it a call to action. So even though today's topic is armed and dangerous, I think it's essential that we dig deep and find a call to action for our listeners and ourselves, because this is, like I said, scary times.
I think my call to action would be try to stay informed, stay in the loop, know what's going on in your community and your city. And if there is rallies for, say, anti-guns or the something where, you know, there's, not say police involvement, but some type of protesting that you can do to be involved with the laws as far as governing firearms and things like that, get involved if you can. Or, you know, if you can donate a few dollars, donate a few dollars, but try to be engaged in the process, because a bullet has no name on it. Any one of us can be hit by a stray bullet. It doesn't have to be intended for us, because if the more guns that are out there and the more people are tend to use them, a lot of innocent people who are not the intended victims, you know, end up losing their life.
Well said. Well said. That's true. That's a really good call to action, and your words are very true. So I'll just add my call to action for armed and dangerous. I think we have to actively, like you said, pursue a different route. I think, like you said, the small minority has been very vocal and has been kind of shouting over everyone else. And I think we have to push back against that. I think we have to shout as loud or speak as loud to get our point across. We don't want to go to the same emotions that they're doing, which is just rage, right, and irrationality. But we have to give an alternative, right? You know, there's a carrot or the stick. There's I think you said it's the butter or the bullet. I forgot, a ballot or the bullet, right? So what I'm trying to say is my call to action for our listeners is that we have to take this challenge on, right? Because it literally is life and death for us, for everyone. So we can't just say, well, I hope it gets better or whatever. So following your call to action, big group, as far as paying attention and getting involved, I'm going to double down on what you're saying and say, get involved. We have to push back. We have to say, listen, there's no reason we live in an armed and dangerous society. There's no reason for it.
I agree 100%.
Same here. So again, for our listeners, we are back. This is season three. Our first episode of season three is armed and dangerous because of what's going on in our country. And we'll follow up again soon. So I'll just say, I'm Sean P.
I'm Big Roo.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.